pronounce your last name. Is it Villanueva?
Villanueva.
Villanueva. Okay. Okay.
Really?
We are in the San Fernando Valley, and we are going to be interviewing Enrique Villanueva, and he is granted us this interview because this is part of a series where people that have had encounters, especially from Latin America, have volunteered to give me some information and to tell exactly how they lived through this very unique experience. But I want to ask Enrique, first of all, you are from Peru. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I was born in Lima, Peru. That's the capital. And I had my first sighting when I was 7 years old, playing with friends outside my house. We saw this light going up, and then a flash so bright that the night became day. I was very impressed. Mm-hmm. Days later, another ship, this time closer, closer to the avenue that was close to my home, I saw the adults running towards the avenue, and we were the kids at the time, so we ran after them trying to see what was it. And then we noticed this thing that looked like two plates touching, and this thing moved so sudden, so fast, and then so gentle also. And I remember the adults mentioning that that was an alien invasion or something like that, and we were kids, and we were like, what is that? What is an alien? What is a UFO? In Spanish, it's OVNI. Objeto volador no identificado, an unidentified flying object. So I think that was the first time I heard the technical description of that. My father was always interested in the paranormal phenomena, so...
It was your father who was interested in your family, mm-hmm. your father mainly. What did your father do for a living?
He was a doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, he worked for the police, and he was very interested. He was part of the Rosicrucian Order at some point mm-hmm. in his life. Then he went with the Gnostics. Then he was part of the Freemason. He was experiencing many different fields of awakening of consciousness. And when I was born, the library was already there in my house with all these books and stuff. And I guess when I saw the ships, the first sightings I had, I asked my dad, and he just pointed at the library. You have many books there. You can search. And from searching about UFOs, I found information about yoga, about astral projection, and I was very curious. And I remember at 12, I had my first astral projections. Spontaneously, I was suddenly out of my body and somewhere else, and in the beginning, I was afraid of it. I didn't know how to control that. Later, I studied and learned some techniques, but I realized that the astral realm is as limited as this one. So I decided if I was going to reach some kind of opening in my consciousness, it was going to happen when I was experiencing my physical being. So I kind of like get away from the astral projection and the experience there, and I just concentrate on meditation and trying to understand what was the reason, the meaning of being here. From 12 to 16, I was in that search, and then at 16, I started having these sightings. Every time I went up to the roof of my house, I saw mm-hmm. these lights on top. I wasn't sure what was it, maybe a UFO, but it's too high. It was more like a stars moving, then crossing the paths, or moving in zigzags on the sky. In meditation, I sent this idea of I'm looking for a friend out there. I feel so out of place in this in this planet, and maybe if you are interested, we can talk about it. And I had some astral experiences with them. They called me first. This was like this. I was resting one afternoon when suddenly I heard the phone ringing. Mm-hmm. So I asked, anybody going to answer that? Nobody in my home, so I ran towards the phone, I lit it up, and then this voice told me, you asked for a friend, we are in the solar system, we will visit you soon. So I was like, what? I was expecting something in my mind, some kind of telepathic communication, mm-hmm. this is in a phone. And then I hang up, and then the phone was still ringing. And I realized that I was not there. I was still in my body, resting in the bed. So immediately I stand up now with my physical body, and I run towards the phone because it was ringing still. I lift it up, and there was nothing. It was like blank. But I had this strong feeling that the communication was real, and they were using the symbol of the telephone to let me know that they were going to get closer now. And I was open to the experience. Then the Rama group appeared in the news, Channel 4, I think, at the time in Peru.
And let's define the Rama group is a group around Sisto Paz Wells, right?
Yes, it's a group of contact that started in 1974 with the experience of Sixto and Charlie Paz, both brothers. And in 74, they started having the sightings. Then the contact become closer and closer until they have the opportunity to confront these beings, and then even were invited inside the spaceships. And, well, Sixto had experience, and the whole community of Ramas are having the experience of contact at different levels.
And the beings are people?
They are people, or they look like people. At this point, Paula, I have more questions than answers.
Yeah, I understand.
I can tell you what I experienced, what I understood of it, but I'm not 100% sure about their origins.
All right.
And I still question some of my own experiences.
Okay. You said that you had this invitation. Remember, it's an invitation.
Yeah.
And then you decided you saw Rama that was in your vicinity. Then what happened?
I tried to get close to Rama. Rama was a close group at the time. They didn't want me to participate with them in the encounter they were going to have in the desert because I didn't have the preparation. They said that I need at least 1 year with them in order to go for that encounter. A specific event. And I was a rebel at the time, so I decided I was going to go anyway. So I told my dad, and together we traveled to the desert of Chilca in the specific day. But we got lost in the middle of the desert, and we never reached the point where the experience was supposed to happen. And when we went back, entering the city, the whole city went to this blackout, no lights at all. That was common at the time because we had terrorism at the time. It was awful. The terrorists blew out the towers of energy around the city. So we assumed that it was an attack from the terrorists. And we entered the city like nothing. We were already used for years to the terrorism, so it was kind of like normal. And I remember going home, putting my candle beside my bed, and then I heard this low vibration, like a buzzing sound, like bzzz. And it was so strong to me that I realized the dogs around the block were listening to that too, because the dogs are barking a lot. So I went down to my brother and I asked, can you hear that? And he was like, I cannot hear anything. So I told him, maybe I listen like dogs or something, because I'm sensing something here. I went up to sleep, and that night I had a very strong experience meeting these two beings, very small ones. And they took me inside this spaceship that was kind of like a small. And we went up. They showed me kind of like a base behind the moon, or maybe in the dark side of the moon. And from there, they explained many other things about the solar system and bases, extraterrestrial bases in our solar system. It was so much information that when I woke up, I was like in shock. I couldn't believe that I was going to talk about this with my family or my friends. I definitely needed to be with people that understood a little bit of this. So then I decided that I was going to be part of the Rama group. I went to them. I explained many of the things I experienced. I explained about dreams I had with this strange, weird big book with many symbols. And they told me, yeah, we know about that. We received that information many years ago, and they explained about the Akashic Records and how was that related to the history of humankind and ancient civilizations in the planet. And I confronted and validated some of the information I received with the Rama group, and I became part of them. weeks later, we have the third sighting together, me and the new members of the Rama, because I entered with a group of kids that were my age, and 15 people in the desert of Chilca at 12 at night. We saw this light coming at the level of the mountains. They stay in formation, then some went down, some went up, and some moving to the side. Then one of those ships came closer to us and started approaching us. In our group, there were like two girls. One of them became really stressed and nervous. She started crying, and then the thing stopped in middle air and started going down. I would say 15 meters away from us. I felt like running towards the thing, but my instructor at the time, Edwin Argueta, he told us not to get close, as the terrain was not like really plain. We could easily misstep something, and we decided to...
Was this at night?
At night, yes. That was okay. The first sighting with a group. Later, the sightings became something normal. Every time we went to the desert, we had the sightings. I became a little bit bored with the sightings. I wanted more, so I really dedicate myself to follow all the directions of the training with Rama. Mm-hmm. So I became a vegetarian, I meditate a lot, I did the breathing exercises, mm-hmm. and everything they mm-hmm. suggest I did. I just wanted to have more closeness to the experience. And it happened that one day when we were having a sighting, the first time was when I was trying to receive a psychography. I was thinking that my group, because we were the new guys in Rama, we didn't have an antenna. The antenna in Rama is the person that can open the telepathic channel mm-hmm. and can receive the information in order to guide the whole group. Mm-hmm. In my new group, there was no antenna. So I thought maybe I should predispose myself in order to receive this information. Maybe I am the antenna. So I got my pen and paper, the same way Sixto did many years before.
Mm-hmm. It's like an automatic writing, but you can also draw designs, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
You feel an impulse, and then mm-hmm. the ideas are in your mind, and you feel like writing. Mm-hmm. So I never experienced that before, but I knew how to do it. So I sit with my pen and paper and just wait for the thing, open my mind, clear my thoughts and everything. And then 15 minutes later, nothing happened. Just a little subtle energy running on my shoulders, I was it. Next day I tried again, and I felt the presence of someone maybe around, but I look around, nothing happened. Third night, it was 11 p.m., and I thought, this is the last attempt I'm going to do. If it's not happening tonight, it's not going to happen for me. So I was with my paper, pen, closed my eyes, cleared my mind, then I felt the energy running again, the presence of someone again, and I thought that could be my mind. I still wait. And then I felt the presence very strong. So I opened my eyes and looked around, thinking that it was my father or my brother, maybe. They woke up or they are going to the kitchen.
You did this at night?
At night. Every okay. night was at 11, the same hour. Nobody was there, so I grabbed the pen again, put it on top of the paper, closed my eyes, and then I felt the clear presence of someone behind me approaching me with the hands like this. The most weird thing, because I could see his hands approaching me, even though I was with my eyes closed. I saw the hands getting closer to here, and then I saw the energy coming from the palms of the hands and running through my skull, like a bzzz, bzzz. And the third buzzing sound was like an explosion in my forehead. And then I opened my eyes, and then the guy was standing in the other side of the table. And I was really in shock. I didn't expect that. I was expecting some voice in my mind telling me something, but this guy was standing in the other side of the table, and I was ready to run. I remember my heart was...
Was he solid, or could you see through him?
I couldn't see through him, but around his body, there was this contour of light. That was not an aura, that was something else.
Very it was just like a contour of light.
The contour.
Was it like a hologram?
It could have been. I didn't touch him at that time, mm-hmm. but I saw this light around him. He was very tall, maybe 6'2",
6 feet 2. And what kind, what was his hair like? What was he like?
His hair was long, close to the shoulders. Mm-hmm. He was lacio, how you say that in English? I'm not sure.
Straight.
Straight.
Was it blonde or was it light brown?
It was kind of like white.
White?
Yeah, like an elder, but he was not elder at all. He was like in his 30s, maybe.
It was like platinum blonde, maybe.
And his
features, were they?
Like an Oriental Mongol guy.
Okay.
Big eyes, but like a Chinese.
Yeah.
And his cheekbones were a little higher, but very human. And very beautiful, exotic beauty.
Okay.
And what else about him? His body was impressive because even though he was wearing this kind of like a silk tunic or a robe, I could see clearly the form of his athletic body, his shoulders, very well pronounced, very athletic figure.
Okay, and what color was his tunic?
White.
So he was white, he was dressed in white?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was standing there. And as I said, I was in shock, and I didn't expect that. So I felt like if I continue like that, I was going to collapse because I already felt my heart here in my throat. And I was just waiting for the thing, and because he didn't say anything, I opened my mouth and I said, are you going to say something so I can write down? And I was trying to break the ice because it was really uncomfortable, and the feeling was awful. And then he looked at me, and then I sensed this energy coming from him so strong. I couldn't see that energy. Even though I was seeing the contour of light, I couldn't see that thing, but I could felt it like embracing me completely. And when I felt that energy, I felt his fraternal love. That was the feeling. So strong that my brain immediately translated that feeling into little brother. That was his first word. And I felt that, and I felt that was my brother. There was no doubt about it. The feeling was like, I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to do anything bad to you. Just relax. I'm here to embrace you. And I was just like, oh. I relaxed completely. And the weird thing is I couldn't articulate all the millions of questions I had before the experience. I was just blank and waiting. And then he told me there was a need for me to calm down because you are not the antenna of the group.
Oh.
And you need to go back to the group, explain what happened, tell them that this is a way to predispose for the communication. We will be ready. Between you, there is already one that has the channel open. We need him to be ready for this. Just go back, tell them how it happened, and you will see.
Did they name who it was that was...
No. They just told me to go to the group. And then he told me, and every time you predispose yourself with the intention or the will to serve your group, we will be ready to assist you. And it was like a moment of silence, like he was waiting for me to say something, but I was like in awe, like talking, right? But nothing happened. And then... he just smiled at me, and then that contour of light started getting brighter and brighter, and then his whole image collapsed in a spot in the earth.
In a spot.
Like those old TVs when you turn them off, and all the image goes just like that. And I was like, did it really happen, or what's going on?
When he was talking to you, did you see his mouth move, or did you just hear it in your mind?
It was the feeling that my brain was translating into my own language.
Into your own language. It was almost like your own voice, no? Or was it like your own voice, or was his voice different?
It's not actually a listening. It's not a sound. Even though you can identify the voice with a sound because you are used to talk to yourself, but it's actually not any sound. It's more the feeling and your brain translating that into the words that are familiar to you.
Because he's speaking in Spanish. Because
I was speaking in Spanish. He was speaking in feeling.
Okay, so, because this communication is interesting, because these visitations have been worldwide in different countries.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean these people go to school to learn all these languages. They have a way of communicating what they're thinking and feeling so that you receive it in your language, no?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I think that is telepathy. It's not the transmission of just words or thoughts. I think it's feeling. And the feeling, I think, is a deeper level of thought. A thought that is so universal that embraces all the living things.
So it's a very important communication, Enrique, because if we had that kind of communication even on this planet, we would not lie, we would not have misunderstandings, we would all be on the same wavelength, which you call the same wavelength, which would help eliminate all the borders of communication on this planet. That's the problem.
We probably will understand future that there is no reason to fear your brother. He got exactly the same fears. If you could feel him, her, you won't need to attack anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I was stressed because I was expecting an attack because that was so unknown to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when he let me feel that, I was relaxed and accepting of his fraternal love.
Okay, so he told you to go back to your group, and you are not the antenna.
Yeah.
So what happened after that?
I went back to the group. Kids were there. They used to play ping pong in the place, I remember. And that day, they didn't feel like practicing meditation or anything. I was, like, insisting, like, guys, we have to go back. This happened. Most of them didn't believe me. They were like, that doesn't happen. An antenna doesn't receive the visitation of a physical being in the middle of the living room. That's impossible. And I was like, maybe it didn't happen in Rama before, but it happened to me, and it's real. They were like, ping pong, ping pong. And then this guy, Victor Benitez, arrived. He was away from the group for the reason of his job for 2 weeks. And he came back, and he was the only one that was picking up on my talking. And he said, Enrique, but how did you do it? I said, okay, let's go to the living room. I'm going to show you how. I take the paper, pen, and everything. I was breathing. I'm not the antenna, but this is the way it's supposed to be. And just repeat and do this over and over. I told him, the third night I try this, this happened. I cannot tell you that it's going to happen to you, but just try it. Let's see what happens. And he tried it the second day. When he was going in the bus to his job, something happened to him. And he started feeling these ideas in his mind, and he couldn't control them. He grabbed a piece of paper, and I think it was a napkin. And he started writing in the napkin, like, without control. And his first 2 weeks were like that. Anywhere he was, he started receiving this information. He started writing, even in his hands sometimes. And later he controlled the thing, and he was more like in calm when he received the information. He was the antenna of the group.
He was the antenna of the group.
Yeah.
And how long were you with that group?
For the next 2 years, we practiced together. Through Victor, we received many invitations to go into Marcahuasi, place in the Andes,
mm-hmm.
a very high altitude where we have some sightings and some communication with these beings, then to the Nazca lines south of Lima.
Okay.
And many different places that are already known for the high energy they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems these aliens, these extraterrestrials, use these special vortexes in order to move, I guess, with their ships around the planet.
It's kind of like the planet has a grid,
mm-hmm.
a grid, and they need these vortexes to move. This, and did they tell you where they were from?
As I told you, I didn't have the opportunity to clear my mind in a way that I could
ask
put
questions.
My questions up front and say this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I did question them, but I did in a different context. Like sometimes during my meditation, I could see
mm-hmm.
them clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so calm that I was ready to question them. I did kind of like accept the idea that they were coming from the bases in the solar planet. Sixto and the Rama group point at different locations in the space.
Mm-hmm.
They say that some are colonies from Orion.
Yeah,
some are colonies that have their bases in Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the Venus life is original from there. They create an artificial
mm-hmm.
life in Venus. I wasn't sure. I was just open. And during one meditation, and it was like 2 years after, when I was close to leave the Rama group, in one meditation, I confront one of these beings. his name is Ordaz, or he identified his name with that,
What's his name?
Sordas.
Okay.
He is supposed to come from one of the planets in the Alpha Centauri star mm-hmm. system, and that's what we know in Rama. So those are things I cannot verify. That's mm-hmm. common mm-hmm. knowledge in Rama. But then Sordas was in front of me, and I had so many questions that I couldn't express at the time, and I was a little frustrated. And I remember I told him, I got it. You came from that system, and I'm here, and I'm supposed to believe everything that you guys are bringing, and I wasn't sure that you are what my whole group is saying. I'm not sure that you are really this extraterrestrial being. Maybe you are not even a being. Maybe you are some kind of holographic image. Maybe you are part of a mechanism of control mm-hmm. that is guiding us through this imagery, or is guiding us through a new kind of mythology. I don't know. I was questioning myself about mm-hmm. many things. Mm-hmm. So I told him, maybe you are part of that system. And then he told me, if you think I'm not real, use exactly the same judgment to apply, you apply to myself, to yourself. Ask yourself how real you are. And I use the same thing, and I realize, I don't know what the hell I am. So we are at the same level. And I was glad that he answered that, because he put me right in the position of the real question, who I am, what am I doing here? And I accept his answer. I don't need to know if he really comes from Apu, from that planet in Alpha Centauri. I just wanted to be wise. Yeah.